Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on.
I can do the big one.
Because the conversation starts now. Oh, I want to make sure that I have your authorization and consent to edit, record, and distribute this podcast on behalf of my show, ALM Enterprises, a good person production for On the Edge with April Mahoney. Are we good?
We're good.
We're good. All right. Everything is good. All right. Here we go. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You are at the location, the spot right here, where the conversation is pointed and the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. Today we have Kimberly Gilmartin. That's a mouthful. This is her first podcast, Brains. And we're gonna wing it. She's got a lot of great information. We're going to cover everything from soup to nuts. Okay. And it's going to be a lot of fun because I like to have authentic, organic conversations. I want to hear what's in people's heads. I want to hear what's in their thoughts. And you know I'm going to give my commentary and my opinion. I just can't do anything but that. So let's welcome her to the edge. How are you today, Kimberly Gilmartin?
I am doing great. I'm doing great. I've got a house full of summer guests and trying to squeeze a little corner quiet for myself. And wow. I'm doing great.
Girl, we ain't got nobody at the house. We're going on vacation. I haven't had company. My mom passed away about a year and a half ago, and you know, this used to be the watering hole. Everybody would come here, and you know, we do the barbecues and the Thanksgiving and all that. And now that mama's not here, you know, it's kind of fizzled out. But I tell you what, it's just me and Mr. Magnificent, and I'm gonna get me a fur baby here when I come back from my vacation, and just, you know, live my life. What does life look like for you? Not out, you know, family, but what does it look like for you right now?
Oh my gosh. You know, I can honestly say that the last 2.5 years have been just this most amazing journey, learning and taking great leaps of education and personal growth. And life is really great. It's, I finally beginning to really, truly master the concept of finding the happiness in the folds of everyday life. You know, it's really good. Life is good.
And living your best life and living a full life. People limit themselves. They stay in that one lane. When you got a super highway out here, they are so ingrained in their way of thinking. I mean, you look at the politics of the world. You look at all of this dissension against the races and against the establishment. And they're just really missing the forest for the trees. There's so much beauty out there. There's still, you know, nature. There's still great vacations. There's still great friendships and relationships. You're doing a lot of mindset work around relationships. You focused it on young people. But as we got to talking in the green room, I think it really applies to humanity, mm-hmm. You know, overall. Tell us a little bit about where your head's at.
Yeah, well, I've had the really amazing opportunity to be a part of a multi-authored book that's coming out. It's actually already launched, going to be relaunched in 2020 in the fall, actually. And through this journey with 20 other women, I've had the opportunity to write a chapter on my definition of wealth, and it's all about how my belief is that health is wealth, and that each of us could really benefit from being more aware and bringing stillness into our life, even if it's just for a few moments every day. And through being aware of that stillness and bringing it into our life more often, that allows us to really connect deeply with our own self and what I like to call our divine essence. You know, that's really kind of my way of saying spirit, however you want to think of spirit. There's so many different ways, but, and then, you know, on a deeper level that, like, once we're able to connect to our own spirit within ourselves, that then we're actually connecting to everyone. And, there's just something about that mindset that, makes a lot of the worry and a lot of the things that we stress and fret about seem so insignificant. And I'm not saying worry and stress is insignificant. What I'm
It
really
is insignificant.
saying,
It doesn't bring you value. Worry and
no.
stress is not a place where you incubate.
No, and it's
You
not
know?
a creation. We don't create from that. That's destruction mentality, right? And what I've learned over the last couple of years is that, pain and struggle and stress exist all the time around us, all the time. And that we always, always have a choice. We can connect into that energy, or we can connect into the calm and the stillness of our own divine essence or
But
spirit.
you can use that reality to fuel you. You know,
100%, yeah.
you sit in this space, you take responsibility for your actions,
Yep.
you know, because how you react to it is your action. You know, what you do. See, sometimes it takes me a little while to de-escalate. But I'm a thinker, and sometimes I overthink it, which a lot of people do. And
Yep.
then you have that negative self-talk.
Yes,
You
a
have to
hundred
go in
percent.
there and do the work and reframe it, you know,
100%.
change that neuro-linguistic programming. Look for the you know, look for the other person's point of view, just for just a second. Just slip your stuff in they stuff and see really where there's a common denominator. You got to meet people right where they are.
Yep.
Sometimes people are in outer space.
Yeah, and yes, exactly. And not only do you have to meet people where they are, but I also find it really helpful to, no matter what the scenario, and sometimes, believe me, it is so difficult, but you've got to attempt to get yourself into empathy and gratitude for whatever the other person's going through. Because I find that the moment I do that, then all of a sudden, all that energy, all that angst or anger or whatever the emotion is I'm feeling, it's gone out of me, and I don't have to carry it or hold it forward anymore. I can be in joy, and I can have the empathy and gratitude for I can have the empathy for the other person and all that they're going through, but I can stay in gratitude, and that is so powerful for me.
It
And
is. But then sometimes, Kimberly, you got to cut a joker off too.
oh yeah,
That
that
takes courage. A
yeah.
lot of people just go along to get along.
Yep.
I don't mess with you. You know, I'm gonna love you in that space. But in that space, when we
Yep.
go to another space, I may not necessarily take you along with me.
Right. No, I agree. I've been actually just said to my mom just this morning, we were having a little chat because, families, families,
I know,
we
and you
can be
got
hard.
a mall at
We love each other so much, but boy, we give each other so much, you know what, because we can, because we know we'll still be there mostly for each other, right? Yeah, I was just saying to her, I was saying, hey, I choose not to live at the vibrational level of anger anymore. Like, it's a
right?
conscious choice, right? If people want to be in anger, then that's their choice, but I don't choose to live there in that place. I choose to feel it, experience, and let it go, and turn it into gratitude or turn it into something else. Not that I'm saying life has to be all positive, because we know it's not. But again, we always have a choice to either connect in and hold on to the negativity or the calm, stillness, creation energy, the divine feminine essence within us, which is in all of us, man or woman, right? So,
It really is, especially in this age of Aquarius. It's much gentler time. We're trying to get through this lunar vortex.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it's tight. You know, it's not this big portal that we think. It's just like this little cylinder. And everybody's trying to squeeze through there, and they're taking their stuff with them. But just like when you die and go to heaven, you can't take everything with you. I've never seen a hearse, you know, with a U-Haul attached next to it. It's just not going down that way. And
No.
dignity and respect starts with self. You can't respect somebody else if you don't respect yourself. How
Exactly.
you carry yourself, your conversation. I just posted one of my older shows on profanity. I was in the store, and this woman, I'm telling you, every other word was, and she was talking to her kid.
Oh.
Every other word was something horrible. And I just
Yeah.
really just wanted to just have a conversation with her, but you got to stay in your own lane. But if she did that self work, because what she's doing is she's creating epigenetics.
Yes.
Somebody talked to her that way growing up, and somebody talked to her parent before that.
Yep. Yep.
But she couldn't see it, she couldn't hear it. And the little kid was just kind of like cringing, like, wow, why you gotta come at me like this? I just wanted a toy.
You're right. It's
So
anger, right? It's anger, it's pain, and then we're passing it on. That's what I believe that the self work and brings in the awareness, like I was saying to you earlier, just before the call started, it brings on the awareness that actually our actions, they create ripple effects in the planet, not just for our little children that we're swearing at, who then are feeling that anger like a pierce of a sword through their heart. It's hurt, it hurts them. But it creates like ugliness and anger and unhappiness in our planet, and starts with us. So we have to actually practice really deep self-care of
We
our
do.
own self, finding that stillness so that we can get to that place where we find gratitude and empathy, so that what we're emanating out and vibrating out is love, because the world, we are all of us at
What
our
the
essence
world
and being
needs
is
now
pure
is love,
love, right?
sweet love.
Yeah, and that's what we need more of in the world. I mean, I look around as the mother of two teens, and sometimes I'm just disgusted. I love music, but sometimes I'm just disgusted at the lyrics that my children are listening to, and sort of the belief systems, behavioral systems that are being perpetuated and kind of held up high as the way to be and look and dress and act in our world right now. And I think, oh my gosh, that's not really a road to what we're talking about here. It's not a road to love for sure. It's not a road to happiness if we're living at the low vibrational energy of disrespect and pain and hurting of others, right? Yeah.
They do, but it's everywhere, and
Yeah.
it's mostly in that device.
Yes.
I had some young people with me, and I told them, "Look, let me tell you something. My time is valuable, okay? People pay big money to spend time with me.
Yep.
So if you didn't pay to get up in here, I suggest you pay attention."
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so put the device down. You can pick it back up. If you get hurt, you're with me. If you need something to eat, you're with me. If you need to call somebody, you're here with me. So there's
Right.
no reason to do that and to be able to disconnect. And also, it's training the mind to be able to multitask. My husband's quick to say, "Oh, multitasking isn't, I don't believe in that because you're not giving one thing your undivided attention." And I can appreciate that too. So you are a woman that has consciously uncoupled. You're a single mother of two teenagers.
Yes.
When you decided to, do the Big Bang Theory and step out on your own, were you afraid? What was running through your head
Oh,
at that time?
April. Yeah, I mean, I think I wouldn't be honest if I didn't say that it was, the one of the most difficult and really, frankly, I think sad things in my life, because I believe when you love someone, you always have a piece of them in your heart. And yes, I was a little afraid, and I was a little unsure, and it took a lot of working through the grief of the I like to say, and I talk about it in my chapter in the wealth book, the break, the kind of like breaking up or destruction of my Norman Rockwell painting. Like in my mind, I had this Norman Rockwell painting, probably from watching too many Disney movies when I was young, but I had this Norman Rockwell painting, like this beautiful family sitting around a table, right? And so for me, that breaking up of the dream of what I thought my life should be was really, really painful and really hard, and I was afraid.
Well, because we have these expectations. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about expectations of others. That's your first mistake, brains. It's like somebody coming to your house and you have an expectation of what they're going to wear. And, he didn't have a button-down shirt on. And oh my God, here he is with a collarless shirt. Exactly. So the whole thing, the whole evening is ruined because he didn't wear a collared shirt. Well, did you set the parameters? Did you tell him what the dress code was? Did you tell him that, you might need a jacket? Like, this is upscale. This is elegant. They do it. We're going on a cruise ship. And they clearly define what it is. So then, if a person doesn't fall in line, it's on them. The
Right.
onus is on them. It's not on you. Having expectations of others is a dangerous thing, but it takes a lot to, just kind of go with the flow. That's what we were talking about, meeting people where they are. I'm working with a group right now, and I was laughing. I was telling one of my other guests, this person was wearing me down. Okay.
I've been there.
All right. And I just sucked the oxygen right out of the room. And I said, you know what, April, you're such a hard charger. You got such a strong personality. Why don't you dial back on that? Why don't you just sit here, be quiet, and observe? Come to find out, the skill set that they have is something that's not my forte, something that I don't want to do. And now I'm able to delegate. I've got their buy-in. And now it's beautiful. I don't have to be bothered with anything because now I keep them busy. But that's with your children. You've got to strategically spank their behind. You don't have to put your hands on them, but mentally, you got to be up on the game because they're not smarter than you. They think that they are. With relationships, with a spouse, I've been married 38 years to Mr. Magnificent, and I
Nice.
absolutely adore it. But it's a chess game still, you know?
Yeah, it is.
But he knows that the queen is the strongest piece on the chessboard, okay? And you got to take your power. You got to teach people how to treat you, Kimberly. You can't just go for the okie doke. Wouldn't you agree?
You do. In fact, yeah, I mean that's a great line, because actually thinking back on my marriage, I felt, that's something that I take full responsibility for. I didn't teach my husband how to treat me. I didn't even know. I didn't even sit down and think about how I should be treated. And I let things happen that I should have stood up for, and things probably may have been different. But yeah, it's taken me too long in this life to understand that, yeah, you know what? You can tell people how to treat you, and that's okay. It's okay to have a voice. It's okay to talk out loud when things aren't great, and it's okay to set standards for yourself. And it's also okay to recognize and notice that if people aren't able to respect the standards that you set for yourself, then maybe they're not right for you in the moment. And
Out you
that's okay. N no, nothing bad against them or you, but like, you might have different ex diff where there was that word again, expectation. I mean,
Expectation.
yeah.
It is what you expect of someone else, what your mindset, what your standards, what your beliefs, with your understanding, limited understanding, okay? Because we are limited in our understanding. There is so much that we don't know. I'll use racism. People just don't like folks for the color of their skin. That's how they came out the womb. You don't have any choice, but have you even tried to have a conversation with them? Have you tried their food? Have you tried their neighborhood? Have you listened to their plight and understand that we are more alike than we are different?
100%.
And they don't do that. They don't expose their children to other things. They don't take them on vacation. We were just talking about travel. Yeah, there's some culture shocks, but I tell you, when I come back to the good old USA and I get off that plane, baby, I want to kiss the ground. With all the kerfuffle that's going on in the world, this is still the greatest country in the world.
It's a pretty great country. It is because of the fact that we have the choice to think free. We're a free country. It's
Exactly.
amazing. I will, going back to your comment about going even not really racism, but taking it even a step further back to what you said about being more the same than different. That is so true, because that goes right back to my point that I try to make in the chapter. We actually really are all one. Like, the skin color, the body shape and size, the food preference, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, in the inside, we're all the same. And if we just, as a overall global population, would like spend some more time on ourself, getting ourselves to our own divine essence. Like, if we could get there, wow, what an amazing planet we could have if we didn't ever want to harm another human being
But you know
ever.
what? We can kind of agree to disagree because I don't think that we're all the same.
No, we're not
We
all
have
the same. We're not all the same. No,
similarities. And
beautiful
so,
differences.
right. And people don't appreciate the difference.
Exactly,
You
yeah.
know, they don't appreciate the difference. Could you imagine if every bowl of pasta tastes the same? Yuck.
No,
Or every flower in the garden was the same? Boring. Or, you know, every movie was the same. So there's variances. So what we need to do is allow ourselves the bandwidth and the capacity and the willingness and the openness to say, hey, you know what? Let me explore something new. Now, that's not to say that you're necessarily going to like it. And we all have our prejudice. And we're not necessarily talking about people, but there's certain, that's like okra. I can't stand okra. But when my mother was alive, my mother would like corn, okra, and tomatoes together. And I'm telling you, she died, and I was 57 years old, and she would still ask me, baby, you gonna put a little okra on your plate for mama? And I'm like, no, but I'm gonna prepare it. And she said, I made the best corn, okra, and tomato in the world because I made it with love. Everything you do, we have to prepare with love. So let's ask some fun questions about
Yeah.
you. What planet are you from?
What planet? That's funny. I obviously I actually think I'm probably, if I could choose a planet, I would say Venus.
I'm from Jupiter. I'm out there. I got all these rings of energy around me. I'm bright. I'm vibrant. I'm drawing you in. Oh, yes, absolutely. Kimberly, if you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be and why?
That's a great question. I think I would probably be my Vitamix
I can't tell you how many people want to be a Vitamix. They love the look of, you know, the Vitamix does everything. It mixes, it blends, it can be hot. You can make some ice cream or some sorbet out of it. I like the Vitamix, but I want to be the refrigerator.
Yeah, keep it cool.
Yeah, and just chill.
I love that. Well, I want to be the Vitamix because it offers me my superpower, which is my green smoothie every day. And without it, I mean, it just keeps me calm and focused and going. And so I like I th that's why I choose it, because it's sort of my staple item.
Okay, you're beautiful, you know, vivacious. What are you looking for when you find love again?
Well, I am in a relationship right now, and what I love most is just the support. And not in a like, oh, I have to have support like way, but just the constant questioning of like, what can I do to support you? Which I love, and I like to do that for him as well. Kindness is super important to me, and sense of humor is like at the top of the list.
Oh,
Also,
women
just
love somebody that can make them laugh, okay?
And flexible, like flexibility, not non-rigid growth mindset, loves to have a sense of adventure. Like, life is short. We gotta have fun. Like, of course you gotta be serious, but can you make the serious things have a little bit of fun too? I mean, just let having enjoying life, ha bringing joy into life.
What did you discover about yourself? How did you evolve from where you were to where you are now?
I discovered that I needed to do a lot of work. I needed to do a lot of work. I think that becoming our best self, it's hard work.
It's
It's
ongoing.
committed hard work every day. It never stops. It's sort of like parenting, or you're having a relationship, or your career. I learned I really had to like commit to hard work consistently. And also I really had to my belief system had to change. I had to believe and find my own value. And that is another thing that I think they don't teach in school. They don't teach you how to find your own value.
That's the emotional finance. Figuring out really where your comma is, you know, how many zeros are there, because it's a lot. It's definitely a lot, but it is an ongoing process. If you had three wishes, Kimberly, what would they be?
I would wish, first of all, that everyone could experience what it feels like to really connect with their own one beautiful beating heart in stillness and really like truly feel that essence once you're connected there and the knowingness that comes with it that like everything is okay. And you're exactly where you're meant to be. And you are like valued and worthy and loved and important. I want that would be my first wish. If everyone could feel that, that would make my heart so happy. Secondly, gosh, I would wish no more war ever in the world, no more wars. And thirdly, I would wish that everyone had access to wholesome, clean, bountiful, beautiful food and water, and that we would care for the planet from that place
Yeah, it
too.
looks like I got it. I got
Right?
access to a menu, baby. What are three things that you cannot live without?
I cannot live without my morning smoothie. Absolutely. Like I said, it's my superpower. I could not live without my family and friends, and my relationships and all my fur babies. I love and nature and my fur babies. Like they just
There's
fill me
nothing
up
like a
every day, every day.
nothing like the kiss of a fur baby. I'm telling you,
Yeah.
just and the
Yeah.
love,
Or
and
a
when they
walk. Yeah.
nestle up under your neck. Oh my God, I'm just a
And the
fluff
little
of butter.
sounds that they make, the little
Yeah.
sounds they make. I mean, yeah, I love people, but like there's just something about animals and the way they
Something about
communicate with
animals.
us.
That
So great.
nonverbal communication.
Yep.
People run their mouth too damn much, Kimberly.
I
Really,
know.
sometimes
Sometimes there's no need for words, right?
exactly, just sometime and just sit there and just listen. You would be surprised at how much you can intake, how
Yeah.
much more influential you can be if you are a good listener. And
Yes.
it's a difference from listening and hearing. How are you going to apply that information? You're going to have to edit and filter. Everything is not going to be applicable to you. I get it, you know? Sometimes you just want to tune people out. But when you tune them out, you do yourself a disservice because you're missing key information. You're missing a different perspective. You know? And so, again, you cannot be powerful unless you have all the information.
Right, which comes right back to my point of like creating stillness and connection to yourself, because there is, you want to talk about power? That's
Exactly.
where the power is.
That's exactly
It's
where it
like
is.
infinite power and energy, right?
Exactly. Well, you have been such a wealth of knowledge, and I just like, again, like I said, a good, wholesome conversation. You've poured into me so much. I want to ask you one last question about your philanthropic efforts. I know that the project that you're working on is going towards charity. What are some of the things that you look for when you pick a group or an organization to donate to? And that could be your time, your energy, your money, your space.
I guess the main thing, and this probably rings true for many, is that I always look to make sure that the mission is aligned with my own values. So the mission of the organization or the group or the team is aligned with those values within myself, which, they kind of speak and echo back to children and the planet, healthy food, and caring for our planet and love. And if I see those things, then I'll take a further look. And then of course, everything has to be coming from the same energy that of love and of goodness. And if I start to feel or see or notice that an organization is perhaps coming from other places like ego or greed, then those are usually organizations that I would pull back from. It
Well,
has to
that's why
come
you're
from
from
me.
Venus. Okay? You're going to take us to a different planet because that is the planet of love. And I thank you so much for loving on me and loving on my brains. Right here on the edge, you see this, baby? Look. Look, babies. I want y'all to see this. This is where I need you to go. I need you to like, love, and share. What did I say? Like, love, and share. Because this is the place, as I told you, where the conversation is pointed and the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. Thank you so much, Kimberly Gill Martin. Tell us a little bit about how we can get in contact with you, or if you want to continue the conversation. You got a Facebook page. We want to watch for the relaunch of this magnificent masterpiece of literary work that's going to be coming out. How do we get in contact with you?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Kimberly Gilmartin. I'm always there. Also on Facebook under my name as well. I also am an Instagram user. You can email me even at kimberlyg@gmail.com if you want to do that. The Wealth Book, is you can find that at wgwlive.com or wgwbook.com right now. And again, that book is out in its, as we're saying, its relic stage at the moment. It's going to be re-released, but I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about that yet. So,
well, that's okay. We have something to look forward to, the relaunch of that, and that's a blessing because sometimes people don't retouch it, you know.
Right.
So now you've retouched it, you revise it, and you've elevated it like you've done our heart. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you.
Thanks for being my first ever podcast. You're awesome and it was so fun. You're the best.
That's what he said.
I'm sure. Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you. Bye.
Don't eat too much pasta.